Hello and welcome to this week's sermon. It's Stuart here and I've got the dog sitting at my feet, Casper, and Jodie sitting in her chair. Thank you for all the feedback I got from last week. I got a lot of emails and phone calls and messages from people saying that they appreciated the sermon. So that was very encouraging. More feedback than I usually get from my sermon. So that's one good thing coming out of this whole crisis. We'll start with the Bible reading, which is from Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11 and through to the end of the chapter. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray as we reflect upon your word that your Holy Spirit would speak to us wherever we are, in our homes, listening on the internet, that your Spirit would take the words of Scripture and bring them to life for us and speak into our lives at this time and bring your comfort and your consolation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This Sunday is known as Passion Sunday. It's the Sunday before Palm Sunday, which is next week, which starts Holy Week. So it's an opportunity to reflect on Jesus's passion upon his death on the cross. And the title for the sermon is Reconciled Through Christ. So we're going to reflect upon Jesus's passion, his death upon the cross. It's an area that raises lots of questions. How can one man's death 2,000 years ago affect me? What happened in the cross? But it's also a source of great comfort, consolation, and assurance for us that Christ died for us. We can have unhelpful images of God the Father, picturing him as a wrathful father, needing the blood sacrifice, the death of his son, in order to forgive us. But that's not what our Father is like. We need to remember that God our Father was in Christ, reconciling us to himself. As Paul says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So God isn't up in heaven looking down upon his son as a dispassionate observer, or turning his face away, as some hymns may say. But God is in his Son on the cross. God is suffering in his Son in the cross. And God is reconciling us to himself in Jesus on the cross. Now, we're in front of a great mystery here when we come to the cross. And no theory about the atonement, about how we are reconciled to God, or dogma can fully explain what happened there. But let's turn now to our passage for some pointers and hints about how to understand Jesus' passion, his death on the cross, and what that means for us today. Paul says that Jews and Gentiles, that is non-Jews, that is everyone, is now reconciled to God through Christ. In verse 12, he says that the Gentiles were without hope and without God in the world. And that speaks to our society today. Many in our society, many in our world are like that at the moment, in the middle of this crisis, lacking hope, lacking faith in God. How they manage, I don't know. It's at times like these I need to turn to God in prayer and know that he is there to uphold me, whatever the future holds, whatever my health may be in the future. But even if folk don't believe in God or don't believe God exists, no one is entirely without God, even if many ignore him or don't turn to him and live as practical atheists. He still loves them and holds them in being and desires to have that relationship with him. And that's why Christ came, to restore that relationship between God and humanity. God became a human being, lived amongst us, died for us, was raised to life again, that death and sin may be defeated. And we are brought near to God in and through Jesus and his death. In verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So we are brought near by the blood of Jesus, that is, by his death. How this functions, I'm not sure. But his death draws us near to God and opens that door, or that barrier that existed between us and God, and makes that relationship possible. Through Christ's death, death is somehow robbed of its power and defeated, especially in the resurrection. We need to keep the cross and the resurrection together. The cross without the resurrection would just be bad news. But with the resurrection, it gives us hope that death is not the end of the story. And we know that Christ himself is our peace. In verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." So Christ is our peace. He brings peace to us at this time. And how much we need this peace in the middle of the circumstances that we face. He's also destroyed the hostility between Jews and Gentiles and makes peace between them, between us, creating a new humanity. And that's why Christ came, not just to die for our sins, but to create a new humanity. In verse 15, it says, "His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God, through the cross by which he has put to death their hostility." So both of us, Jews and Gentiles, are reconciled to God through the cross. And God wants to create a new humanity in us through Christ and what he has done for us. The theme of peace comes up again, and it proves it's important if there's repetition. In verse 17, he said, "He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near." So that's peace to the Gentiles who are far away, and peace to the Jews who are near. That peace is being spread out universally to everyone if we receive it from God the Father. And we have access to that peace in and through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, he says, "For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit." So we have access to God by the one Spirit. The cross opens up us to God and access to God the Father through the Spirit. We think of Jesus when he was resurrected and appeared to his disciples and breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, receive my peace." Or we think of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured down upon the early church. And the cross is wound up with that. We can't look at the cross in isolation. The cross leads to the resurrection. The resurrection leads to the ascension. And the ascension leads to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all people and all flesh. So we need to look at the whole story, the whole of Jesus's life, when he came, his ministry, his teaching, his healing, his death and passion, yes, are crucial, but they cannot be separated from his life and ministry and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven and his pouring out the Holy Spirit at this time. So it's all of a piece together. And God's purpose for us is that we become his living temples. In verse 21, it says, "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So God's purpose through the cross is eventually to fill us with his Holy Spirit, that we become his living temples. So Jesus died for us, was raised from the dead for us, that the Holy Spirit may be poured out upon us, that we may become the living temples of God. And we need to keep all that together. Sometimes we look at things in isolation and talk about the atonement, what happened upon the cross, which is important, but it cannot be separated from the whole story, the whole narrative of what God has done in the people of Israel, in Jesus and in his life and death and resurrection, and also his continuing presence by his Spirit in the life and history of the church. So although there's lots of questions about what actually happens on the cross, what happens in that event, we know that through the cross, through Jesus's death, death is defeated and a new way is opened up for us. We are reconciled to God and God offers us his forgiveness, that all we have to do is receive his forgiveness and live in the light of it. At the moment, it is a sad and a difficult time. But God has not left us alone in our suffering. We're going through what could be described as a passion, in that in Jesus's life, he was active in his ministry, teaching and healing and preaching. And there came a time when he ceased to be an active subject and became acted upon when he was arrested and he handed himself over and was killed for us. But that was also part of his ministry and action. Even when he wasn't healing and teaching and preaching, he was giving himself over to God and giving himself over for our sakes. And at this time, it feels a bit like that. We can't be as active as we usually are. We can't go out and do things. We can't go out and visit people. And we may feel a bit lost, and we're sense being acted upon, going through our own passion in some ways. But what we can see about the cross is that God is not absent from suffering, that God is present in suffering. We see that God is in Christ on the cross. We have a crucified God. God knows what it is to suffer. God has suffered himself in the cross, and God continues to suffer in the pain of human beings and creation. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran martyr against Nazi oppression in the Second World War, said, as he wrote from prison, "Only a suffering God can help us, because only if God can share in our suffering and redeem it in some way? Do we have any hope? So whatever we're going through at the moment, God is not absent, sitting up in the clouds. That's why a lot of people can become atheists, because they think that there's a God removed who's indifferent to our suffering and our pain. But when we look at the cross, there we see what God is like. We see how much God loved us, that he poured out his life, that he shed his blood for us, that we might be in a new and renewed relationship with him. And God is not absent from our lives even now. Even at this difficult time, we can see glimpses of him all over the place. This is Friday when I'm recording this, and last night at 8 p.m., we went to our door and were clapping. And we heard other people in the street clapping. It was a very moving thing, saying thank you to those who are on the front lines in the NHS on our behalf, saying thank you to them. How often do we express our gratitude to people or to God? And God's present in these moments of solidarity when we show care and appreciation and gratitude for others. And God is there in the concern we show for each other, when we phone each other up, when we do shopping for people who are self-isolated, when we listen to those who are lonely and isolated. God is not absent from these situations. But also, we can feel overwhelmed when we watch so much on our television, and perhaps we need to ration how much we watch of the news, because it becomes so much that it can overwhelm us. I remember seeing a picture on the TV of an Italian priest with a face mask on in front of dozens of coffins doing a mass funeral, and sort of wondering what that may entail for us in the future. Who knows, as we face death and suffering, it is quite scary. But one thing we can say is that as Christians, we are not alone, and that God has already defeated death. And we can echo the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, where he says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Our work, our labor at the moment consists in prayer, consists in study, consists in making contact with people by phone or social media. And for those who are able, who are healthy and don't have any symptoms, we can help by doing some shopping for people who have to self-isolate at the moment because they have suspected coronavirus, or just they've got a cold and they can't go out. There are ways that we can show our love at this time. And today, as we reflect on Jesus's passion, we know that it does not end there, and it does not end here. This time of self-isolation, this time of virtual lockdown, will not last forever. It will end. It will come to an end. It can perhaps feel like a long Good Friday that we are going through at the moment, and we might have to wait for a while. I don't agree with Donald Trump saying that we might be able to have full churches on Easter Sunday. I think that's a bit optimistic, to be honest, and potentially very dangerous. But we do know that Easter Sunday is coming, even if we have to spend Easter Sunday in isolation. We know that the resurrection has happened already, and we know that the resurrection will happen for us as individuals, for us as a church community, for us as a nation, for us as a world, that we will come through this. And through the death of some things that have happened through this, we will experience a new resurrection, although we don't know what shape or what form that will take. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for Jesus, that he was willing to die for us, that we might be reconciled to you, that you might destroy death from within and create a new humanity in us. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we would know your strength in these times. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your comfort, bring your peace to us in these difficult days. Help us to pray. Help us to support each other. Help us to love each other in ways that we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just some closing notices. It can't be a sermon or a church service without some notices. Just to say that next week is the first Sunday of the month. And traditionally, we normally have Holy Communion on the first Sunday of the month. It's also Palm Sunday. So next week, when you gather to listen to my sermon, as I hope you will, bring with you a piece of bread and something, some wine. You can use real wine if you want. You can use blackcurrant juice. You could use a cup of tea, any liquid you want, really, to stand for the wine at that time. And we'll have a virtual Holy Communion together after the sermon. So I hope that this sermon speaks into your life and situation. And do give me feedback. Do send me emails or phone calls or messages, because it's good to know if you have any questions. I hope I haven't been too heretical. It's difficult when you talk about the cross, because you can always upset someone. But do let me know what I've said, if it's been helpful, or if you want to explore these issues any further. So go well, and God bless.